having a great friendship also helps with having a great business. It's just a good way to live.
Welcome to the Durango Joe's podcast, where we believe everyone deserves a smile, a warm greeting, and a great cup of coffee. I'm Trevor, and as always, I've got Joe Lloyd on the mic. Joe, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Good weather out there today, and it's nice.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask, have you seen the movie Yesterday? Do you know which one I'm talking about? It's that Beatles movie.
No, I have not.
Okay. The guy gets hit by a bus, wakes up, and it's as if he's the only person in the world who knows the Beatles exist, and he happens to remember how to play their music.
Okay.
Anyways, it's a great movie, and it's really got me on a Beatles kick lately. And one of the songs that's just an earworm gets stuck in my head is A Little Help from My Friends.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a great song, and it's super appropriate for what we're talking about today, because you don't get to where a company like Durango Joe's is at without having some strategic partnerships or even friendships, I think. So I think it was back in 2009, is that right? That we chose to partner with a company up in the Pacific Northwest called Delano's. Is that right?
You're absolutely right. Yep. That was in 2009. And, you know, to also say you're 100% right. When it takes friends, it takes relationships. It takes so many strategic things to get to where you're successful. And along the way, you do run into some really fine individuals. And today, we get to talk to one.
Yeah, on that note, I'm super excited to introduce CEO of Delano's and co-author of a handful of books, The Successful Coffee House, The Rolling Desk, Brewing a Hot Brand. He's the coffee maverick. He is David Morris. David, welcome to the mic.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for cutting out a little bit of time in your schedule to join us. So,
no problem.
So you and Joe go way back at this point, but you and I have only really bumped into each other maybe a couple times at Coffee Fest, I think back in 2018, and then briefly in passing when I visited you up at Delano's in November later that year. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into coffee in the first place?
So I was a gigantic Evel Knievel fan when I was a kid, and I would do like a lot of other kids did, which is copy the moves that he did on his motorcycle. I would do on my bicycle, jumping over Tonka trucks and garbage cans or whatever else, entertaining the neighborhood kid.
Right on.
Yeah. So I got into bicycle trick riding after that, and actually did that as a professional for several years. And my stepdad at the time, I was getting to be 24, 25 or something. And my stepdad at the time offered to help me get into business. And I was thinking, okay, well, I want to do a bicycle shop for sure, because I'm so into BMX.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, my brother Chris was working at a cart. He was 16 years old. He was working at a cart in front of a grocery store. And he was talking about this guy makes coffee for like 35 cents and sells it for like $2 for these lattes, and he's making money hand over fist, and you know, it intrigued me. So I decided that I was going to skip the bike shop route and go with the coffee cart. So we bought a used coffee cart, put it in front of my stepfather, who was my partner at the time, his convenience store and gas station, and opened up in January 22nd, 1992.
And was it Delano's at that time?
Yeah, it was called Delano's Espresso.
Nice.
And it was one of 20 or so iterations of the logo that have evolved over the years. So it went from Delano's Espresso to Delano's Coffee Bar to Delano's Coffee Roasters. And now we're it's obviously still Delano's, but it's mostly known by our moniker of DCR Coffee now.
Yeah, and you've obviously grown this business along with other partners into this big, multifaceted kind of coffee machine in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so for our listeners, a little bit of background on what a company like Delano's does is they do our green buying, which is basically working with farmers and co-ops across the world to help source and pay for and import green coffee to the United States, where they then roast it to perfection, I might add. They also help with training, brand development, and all sorts of other resources for coffee companies like Durango Joe's. So they've been a really fantastic strategic relationship for us to have. But I want to ask,
Trevor, just before you ask this next question, which I think I know it's going to come out of your mouth, but we got to back up to the professional trick bike riding thing that he talked about. Okay. So you need to YouTube David Morris. Is that right, David? David Morris, YouTube, to see some of these classic stunts he would do in front of crowds of people in schools, school assemblies, all that kind of stuff. He ain't lying.
You still got it today though, too, right?
He does not have it today. I watched him try to get on a bike and it was pathetic. Right.
Okay. So to interrupt you, Joe, I was on a bike last week and telling little baby Rogue, my 7-year-old son, what daddy used to do and showed him a video. And then I went out and I did some tricks for him and I actually pulled a couple tricks off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, if you have some video evidence of that, I'm sure we'd love to share that with the listeners.
Yeah, it's fun, but watching it, the main footage on YouTube is from 1989, and it's like a whole nother lifetime ago. So it feels really weird. So I'm just like not the same person.
That's awesome. So I know it was months before you two actually met, but I wanted to ask, how did Durango Joe's come up on Delano's radar, and what were the early conversations like between Delano's and Durango Joe's?
So one of my marketing guys and one of my sales reps at the time, I think the sales rep found Durango Joe's just by looking through some kind of a list of, we used to have a lead list that showed all the different coffee houses in the country. And I think we saw it on there. And then she joined up with our marketing guy and they went and pitched Joe on us doing a rebrand for them and all kinds of stuff. And it was a tough account to get because Joe was literally in the same, as you guys mentioned on an earlier podcast, in the same building as the person that was roasting your coffee. So we had to definitely exceed expectations if we had any chance of getting the account. So Joe first came out to Delano's Coffee Roasters headquarters, and he got an unveiling of some of the branding stuff that we were doing for him and like that, and kind of hit it off with all of us. And he saw me walk by, I think, but I didn't meet him at that time, which is unusual for a big account. I mean, actually, he had 3 or 4 locations, so it wasn't a giant account, but it was still a substantial account that we definitely wanted. And I think I met him later at a trade show, and then we just started a relationship from there. And I think from the first time we met, we kind of hit it off. I think we have very similar values and similar personalities, and both entrepreneurs and a lot in common. And he eventually became one of my best friends.
So Joe, like he said, you were literally in the same building and working super closely with our previous roasting company here in Durango.
Right.
So what was it that really got you to even consider Delano's?
Well, consider the time in 2008-09, things that were not in its best, you know, as far as the economy and things. So, and we were at the point where we were desperately needing to rebrand, and we were actually just trying to figure out how to do that with no money, because we really didn't have a lot of money. And the rebranding price at that point in time was either between $40,000 to $70,000 to have a company come in and just really hone in on who you are and why you do what you do and what's the story behind your brand and blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, we were just banging our heads against the wall, and Mindy and Lon called from Delano's and asked me about it and asked me about, you know, our company and said that they were roasters, and immediately I shut them down. I said, I was busy. I said, Dan, you guys, I do not want to waste your time and I don't want to waste my time, but here's the deal. My roasters can probably hear me talking to you right now. So let's just call it good. And I really kind of almost hung up on them. And about probably 4 or 5 days later, they called back and they said, we need to let you know all we do. And so I listened to the pitch, and obviously they do a lot when it comes to helping not only your coffee, but your business. And so that was the real clincher for me in this whole thing, was they were going to come alongside and be like a business partner, if you will. And we needed the help at that time. And not only just with rebranding, but just some other things. I mean, just as far as retail stuff, I mean, they have, I don't know how many customers you have, David, probably maybe 2,000.
Yeah.
So you guys have a real pulse on what's going on in the coffee industry, not only from the roasting part, but the retail side. And so it was a huge help to have them come on board. And it was a tough decision, to be honest with you, at the end of the day, to leave my former roaster. But these guys came along and really established themselves as not just a roaster, but a business partner.
Yeah. Durango Joe's is kind of like one of our ultimate customer that fit is like a perfect fit. What they need from us and even what we get from the relationship with them is, or you guys, has been amazing. And it's been a great, I think a great, besides the friendship, obviously, with Joe, it's been a great business partnership and a very successful one for both sides. Delano's mission statement is help people make friends and have fun. And helping people is the consulting side of it, and just, you know, helping what we've learned from other retailers. And make friends is what me and Joe have become over the years. And then even my, like Sonny, his business development rep, he would say he's friends with, and just a lot of people here at Delano's. It's more of a family type atmosphere of our customers rather than a transactional relationship, I'd say.
Yeah,
I mean, there is transaction going on. I mean, you write checks and
And that's what really, I think for me, the all in that you guys had when we came on board, that all in, you're part of the family. We're going to do what we have to do to make you guys successful. We're going to bend over backwards. We're going to do what we say we're going to do. And honestly, it was an inspiration for us to go, that is the type of company, because you guys had obviously been going since 1992, and we opened our doors in 2004. So we still had a lot to learn. And so that, Delano's was a good, super good reflection of a company that had great culture, good people, and would go the extra mile, you know, and they still do. Yeah. They still do. It's just,
So like us, I think you probably hire for culture first, and you hire, and then for, you know, you can teach skills and how to be a barista, and you can teach all kinds of things. But you can't teach culture and character and the fit, and you hire that first because you can train other things. Correct?
Oh yeah, we can make exactly, we can exactly teach like anybody. That. Yeah, to make coffee, you just can't teach people to, you know, have that it factor, you know, and caring about other people, and making them a priority.
Honesty.
Our honesty, integrity, all that stuff. Yep.
So you and Joe have been doing business together for over a decade now. So, What has you guys still hanging out? What's that draw, either on a personal level or on that professional level?
When we get together, we talk, and we can talk for hours because we have a lot of the same interests, and both entrepreneurs and all that stuff. And then we're at a trade show in Atlanta, and Joe was down there too for Coffee Fest. And I don't know if the listeners would be interested in this, but I am highly allergic to green coffee before it's roasted. And a lot of times they put coffee bean extract into things. Starbucks Refresher is an example of that. I drank something with coffee bean extract in it. And now when I go out in the warehouse, I knew I was allergic because the dust kind of ruins my day basically from sneezing or if I accidentally rub my eye or something. It's kind of a real pain, but not the end of the world. But I didn't know how allergic I was. So I drank the extract and went into full anaphylactic shock with the ambulance, the whole deal, and it was nasty. And they're like, I couldn't breathe, and they had to, whatever. It was a nightmare. But day and a half later, Joe and I take off from Atlanta and go on a road trip all the way to Philadelphia, right, Joe?
Yep, Philadelphia.
And talk the whole time about family and business and finances and all kinds of stuff. I actually came away from that trip and changed some of the way I do things just from talking to Joe. And he's just been a great, great friend the whole time. We had a really fun time on that road trip. And then also one time a sales guy and I were in California, and we were going to fly from California, where we were visiting a customer at the time, and fly to Durango to see Joe. And we missed a flight, and we couldn't get another flight or something or whatever. So it was kind of like we could cancel the trip. But instead, we just rented a car and drove all the way from Southern California to Durango, Colorado. And I got three tickets in the process. But doggone it, I made it there because I'm going to see my buddy Joe, doggone it, no matter how I have to get there, by train or plane or automobile. Yeah. So needless to say, all the time that I've spent with Joe has been great. So that having a great friendship also helps with having a great business, because we can bring anything up to each other. And if there's issues or anything like that, it's never I don't want to bring it up because it's uncomfortable kind of a thing. It's just, we're friends. So you'd bring it up. So, you know, a lot of people have a philosophy that don't get too close to your employees, don't get too close to your customers. And it's like, I don't have that philosophy, and it seems to be a positive thing for for me having that attitude. And I think Joe has that attitude as well.
Yeah.
Another thing we have in common.
Well, and Joe, you have a famous saying about your relationship with vendors. I don't know if you want to.
Oh, David hates this when I say this. You never marry.
Here we go.
You never marry your vendor. You just date them. And I would say, you know, we're dating and heavily, I would say, you know.
heavy petting. No.
It's a domestic relationship.
We're definitely in a domestic partnership of some sort.
Of some sort,
sure.
Yeah.
We at least live together and have been together more than 8 years, so we're legally married in some states.
Yeah, that's probably very, very true. And there's, you know, David, I'm just hearing you talk, I'm thinking about, you know, the many times you have been to Durango.
Yep.
And we've hung out, and the times I've been in Seattle and stayed at your house and been made part of your family and have watched your kids grow up in the last 10 years and all that good stuff. And that all... Again, it just comes around to making what we do a whole lot of fun and creating memories that, again, quite frankly, you know, you don't get that with other people sometimes. You know, you choose to do this, but it's been something that's been so beneficial for, I think, you and me and our wives. And so it's been fun.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and you guys have done all sorts of different things beyond Coffee Fest and trips in the States. You guys have actually traveled abroad and had the opportunity to do a number of, I think, origin trips together. So for the audience, what is an origin trip? What does that entail?
An origin trip means that you travel to a coffee sourcing country where they actually grow the coffee that we import to roast for you guys and for our other customers. And Joe and I, specifically, one that I remember is when we went to El Salvador. I think we were going there with Layla, who ended up winning the U.S. Barista Championship 5 years ago or so.
Oh, wow.
And that was that trip, right, Joe?
Yep.
It seems like there's always some crazy thing that happens on the trip. And in this particular trip, it wasn't crazy, but it was very uncomfortable. And it was me saying, I'm just going to run to Starbucks real quick when the bus was picking us up from the hotel to go up to the farm. I said, I'm just going to run across the Starbucks real quick. And I turned to do a very light jog and tore my meniscus.
Oh, no.
I didn't know right away, but it turned into a nightmare and crutches and the whole deal. So it kind of ruined my trip, but joking around with Joe and BSing around the fire and all that kind of stuff made it still made it a fun trip, even though I had some injury issues that ended up being pretty painful. So,
Joe, what's it like being able to go alongside with a company like Delano's and get that experience on the ground at Origin?
Well, it's for people that have never been, it is probably one of the most eye-opening experiences that I've been on. I've been on probably a half a dozen or more trips, but you gain such an incredible appreciation for how this all works on a specialty coffee level and the amount of people it takes to really brew cup of coffee, you know, from the bean all the way to the cup. There's so many layers and so much stuff that has to go right and so much stuff that could go wrong. And so, you know, it's really a delicate process, and it's one that people take for granted, for sure. We all do. But it really has given me a deep, deep appreciation for the people that actually, you know, harvest and grow and work to make our coffee what it is today.
Yeah, and seeing that relationship not only between you and Delano's, but how that translates from Delano's to all of the different farmers who it works with.
Yeah. And David has a great team, Phil and,
love Phil. Shout out to Phil and Sonny.
Yep. Shout out to Phil. Hey, so also what's good is for the farmer themselves, we have taken bags of our coffee, you know, of our branded coffee to the farmer, and they've never even seen their coffee in a package of any sort. All they see is they grow the green coffee, they process the coffee, they put it in bags, and they, it gets imported out of the country and goes wherever it goes across the world or the United States and across the world.
Yeah.
And so bringing a bag of our actual coffee to them has been an exciting thing for a lot of our farmers, where they get to see their own coffee in a bag.
That's awesome. I hadn't even considered that piece of it, their perspective on where that coffee's gone and whether that's even something that's part of what they're aware of at that point, if it's just gone or if that relationship does carry back. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And some of our longer term partners like Las Lajas Costa Rica. I mean, when we first met them, they were very, very, very small. And I think they were just selling to us. And then their market has grown. And we literally negotiated our price at the dinner table with them as we broke bread with them. And it was like a real interesting experience and really, really fun and getting to know those guys. And then we noticed every time we'd go down there that their jeans would get a little nicer and their shirts would get a little fancier. So they're kind of,
so, you see that tangible impact that trade relationship has.
Yeah. When you start to pay, you know, somebody a fair price for a product that they've worked for, they're going to, you know, they're going to spoil themselves, you know, or they're going to put that money back into their business, which 99% of the time that's what happens. But
yeah, that quality of life goes up as well. That's awesome.
I remember one time we were in, I don't think you're on this trip though, David, it was at Coffee Talk in Colombia, and Phil was negotiating a deal with one of the farmers, and he brought me in on the negotiation. I really couldn't understand the whole conversation, but the farmer was, it was the first time he had ever met a retailer, myself. He'd met a roaster, but not somebody who actually handed that cup off every day. And it was his coffee. And like you said, David, they were just like blown away, you know?
Yeah.
But it was so cool to be a part of that conversation that Phil allowed me to sit in on. And the other thing about, you know, Delano's, I know that they're hypersensitive and very much an advocate for the farmer, to making sure that they get paid the right wage for their product. When you do that, it encourages the farmer to actually do better, you know, like anybody else.
Yeah. Well, and in some cases, I know it brings up the whole community around them as well. I'm thinking of, I think it's our El Sal, the farm there does a lot to help offer their equipment and things like that to community members. And it's helped bring up the entire community around them as well.
Absolutely.
I want to ask, what's Delano's up to these days? I know we just came out of, 2019, you guys had a champion barista, won the U.S. Barista Championships. Yep. So I just want to ask, what goes into training and developing and even identifying that kind of talent?
It was Samantha Spillman, and she was under the wing of Layla Gambari, who actually won in 2015 with our coffee. I can't remember what exact date. And so she was a protege of hers, and we hired her to be our head trainer here at Delano's. And we allowed her to basically, besides her training duties, she got paid to practice. And she had a room that was set up exactly like the same height as all the stuff in the Barista Championships. And she practiced and she did routines, and all of us would sign up to go in there four at a time as if we're the judges. And she practiced the routine over and over and over again. And she won we had the number one barista in the United States working here in little old Sumner, Washington. And it was awesome. And she always wanted to work, she lives downtown Seattle, and she always wanted to work downtown Seattle. And that just wasn't on our radar. So she actually left about 3 or 4 months ago. But I would say that, like Durango Joe's, if the stop at our business can be a stepping stone for somebody, we welcome it gladly, and we let them go into the next thing with no ill feelings, but want their success and even help them in some cases, and are willing to do that kind of stuff. And that's, like I said, a common thing. I think that Joe has the same attitude, and you know, I'm sure a lot of other companies are stepping stones for the end all be all, which is Delano's for a lot of people, because we have some, you know, 20 plus year employees here and several. Yeah. And so it's just a good way to live, rather than, oh, you're leaving and be bitter and all that kind of stuff. Now, it can be disappointing in some cases and all that kind of stuff and whatever, and you wish the person would stay, but if they need to go, they need to go, and God bless them. And we wish them the best. And they always come back around to, well, not always. Some cases it's not a great exit, like a normal business isn't always, but most cases people still come back and visit even after they leave, or, you know, get, you know, fired even in some cases or whatever. They're still our friends, and they still come around in most cases.
Yeah. I mean, it's all based on the relationship. It's not on that, whether that transaction is employee, employer, or otherwise. Like, you guys are definitely building those relationships beyond and deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Big picture, it's relational versus transactional, can be applied to everything. I mean, the daily person that comes in to get coffee at Durango Joe's, and the person that's out here packaging coffee in our warehouse. I mean, it can apply to anything. So.
Absolutely. Another thing I wanted to bring up that's pretty exciting, we're personally super excited about, is cold brew. I don't know if you want to say anything about what you guys have kind of done to develop your cold brew program. And I'm super excited. I actually had some this morning and oh my gosh, I can't get enough. Joe's sipping it right now.
Yeah. So we talked about Phil earlier. Phil kind of took on this project and it's been a big team effort, but he's kind of headed it up. And it's to create a shelf-stable cold brew that you guys can realistically keep around and, you know, keep in stock without having it be cold the entire time, with a decent shelf life that tastes good. Because there was cold brew that is over-processed that you could buy that tastes horrible. And then there's fresh, cold through the whole process, never heated kind of stuff. And this, we struck a balance and figured out a way to get our cold brew shelf-stable through working with some other companies and still heading it up. And we came out with a great product that we're excited to roll out. And we've been rolling it out to some customers and you guys are getting ready to do it or you're doing it. It's going to be fun. And there's unlimited things you can do now with cold brew and especially drinks you can make out of it. And it just, you know, widened your offering without having to have add a bunch of products just by having cold brew.
Yeah. I think the night and day difference was I've always tried like the little bottles of cold brew you can get at the grocery store, for example, and they were always just super astringent, super acidic and bitter in some cases. And when we first tried the cold brew you guys sent, it was night and day different, completely different. And even now the newer product that we just received and have been playing around with is even a step above that in terms of it's just so smooth and sweet and delicious. So we're launching that currently out to stores over the next week or so at time of recording. And September 1st, we are full blown launching it with cold foam to all of our stores. So we're super thrilled about that product.
Yeah, we're all in on this one. And, you know, I've waited. I've gotten kind of a little bit of heat from people. You know, why aren't you doing
me?
Yeah, cold brew. And why aren't you doing nitro? And you know what? It's very expensive to actually, you know, do as far as you got to retrofit some of your equipment and find space for it. And with this product here, you know, it's so easy. Anybody can make this stuff with the concentrate. And it's good, and it's fantastic. So we're all in, and we actually have some dispensers coming next week that we'll be able to do nitro.
Yeah, that's on the horizon.
And so that's going to be exciting. So yeah, this is really fun, and we're excited to be a part of Delano's innovation, you know, in the cold brew industry, because it really is. I think this stuff is going to fly.
And I know Barista 22 is kind of another arm of Delano's or part of that Delano's family.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask about Barista 22 or what else you might be excited for. What else is on the horizon for Delano's and what you guys are working on?
So Barista 22 is hitting a good stride and doing really well and having a good growth period. Joe's daughter, Kirsten, even was where she came up here for the summer.
She was an intern.
Intern. And yeah, she actually was amazing.
And they did a great job. They came down and visited us and did a big old tasting of all the different syrups and stuff that they're developing and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
And that was just a super cool experience. We actually were able to bring up a bunch of our managers for that, which I think was really eye-opening to them and maybe even gave a couple of them an idea of different ways that they can step up and find different pathways forward in the industry as well. So that was super cool and valuable.
Awesome. What I'm excited about next, I would say, in my Delano's role here is to just further develop systems and develop leaders and continue to kind of do what we've been doing for years, only keep improving constantly daily.
Well, we're excited, David, to be a part of Delano's, and you've taken us on some great rides with a lot of what you guys have done to help us and some of the other things that are coming down. We're hoping to potentially get, I'm going to not lie, we don't have Barista 22 yet as our syrup, but we're going to revisit that here in probably about 3 or 4 months or probably 2 or 3 months to be honest, because I know you're expanding your flavor profile and offerings. Yep. And so that's going to be good. Say, David, I got a question that the audience is going to want to know. And Trevor was going to ask it, but I'm going to ask it. So what the heck? Coffee Maverick, where did that come from?
Honestly, it came about because I used to be kind of a fan of Mark Cuban from Shark Tank, just as a business, you know, entrepreneur kind of guy.
All right.
Now I think he's mildly obnoxious, but I still appreciate his business acumen. And he had a blog he called Blog Maverick. And because he Mavericks were his team, and I just thought, you know what? I'm kind of I'm in the coffee business, but I'm kind of a maverick, you know?
Oh,
if
totally.
You really got to know all of our different interests that we're, my brother and I are invested in, and just different things. It's not just your standard. We do things a little bit different. So that's the maverick side of it. So,
and I think that's an interesting, you know, angle, David, that you do have. I know a lot about, you know, your background and some of the ventures that you and your brother are in that really diversifies your portfolio. I mean, it's just not,
right. It's
just not Delano's, right?
Right. No, it's not just Delano's. We're invested in hotels and office buildings and another drive-through, 35 store drive-through chain, soon to be 40. Our syrup company that does our syrups out of Cleveland, we're owners in, and some other, just a bunch of stuff. There's something that's in common with all of that stuff. And that is it's all either coffee or real estate. So coffee, even the syrup company, that's still the coffee industry. And every single time, this is a little advice for your entrepreneur listeners. Stay in your lane is the best advice I could give to an entrepreneur. And every time we've tried to do the cigar business, we've tried to do some tech stuff, a game startup, I don't know, all kinds of stupid things. And every single thing has not worked that we've invested in that doesn't have a relationship with coffee or real estate. So now when someone brings us an investment, which they do a lot, I'm playing Mark Cuban once in a while with a little miniature Shark Tank situation a lot as people, young entrepreneurs try to pitch Chris and I to give them our money. But if it's not real estate and it's not coffee related, then forget it. That's just how we learn. So stay in your lane, entrepreneurs out there, and you can't be everything to everybody. You can't do just because it's an opportunity doesn't mean it's a good opportunity. And just because it's a good opportunity doesn't mean it's a good opportunity for you.
Mm, yeah.
So stay in your lane.
So what? One more interesting fact about David.
Uh-oh.
No, this is good. This is good. This is okay. Because I didn't believe it, David. You do have tattooed, I believe, on your arm, Evel Knievel something or other, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Great.
So when he talked about Evel Knievel, I was like, oh, this childhood fan dude, you know, loves Evel Knievel. Well, It's way beyond that, okay, listeners out there. He's actually friends with the family, Evel Knievel. They would call him part of the family. And so I experienced this firsthand because I met David one summer. It was probably two or three summers ago. You were at the Evel Knievel Festival in Butte, Montana. I drove up there to see this thing in action because I'm like, I want to go. I'm from Montana, and I've always kind of heard of Evel Knievel. Evel Knievel's from Montana.
Okay, yeah.
And so anyway, it was amazing. I got to meet all the Evel Knievel family, hung out with them. David was, sporting the Evel Knievel gear all weekend long, like, you know, didn't have the only thing you were missing that whole weekend was like a ponytail. David. Other than that.
Why, was there a lot of ponytails in Butte? I don't remember.
I don't know. But it was such a good
a little
time.
Rough up above Butte there.
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever it's called up there. A little rough. Trevor, I used to actually dream as a kid. I used to dream that I knew. I'd read these books at the library in elementary school about Evel Knievel and that his wife is named Linda and that he has a daughter, Tracy and Kelly and all this stuff. And I'd have vivid dreams that I was friends with these people for real as a little kid. And I'd wake up thinking that's real for a second and then realize, oh shoot, it was a dream.
Oh, okay. So you didn't walk around telling all your friends
No, I did not. I did not do that, but I literally dreamed it probably 50 times. And it was always so realistic. And then it literally, I kind of willed it to happen. And I wasn't just friends with the family before Evel passed away. The 4 years I knew him before he passed away, I got to be friends with him and drive. In this last documentary, I'm the one driving him around in the car.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I got to be friends with him, and I had a tattoo and left a blank space for him, and he signed it. It's actually tattooed on my arm, and it's just a fun thing to remind me of where I came from, and you know, did that and did the bike thing, and that led to the coffee thing and the entrepreneur thing, and it's just the whole thing is all kind of works together. He's kind of the ultimate entrepreneur risk taker, so I got a lot of that from him.
Oh shoot, well fair enough there. That's awesome. Thank you so much again for joining us, carving out a little bit of time for us for the Durango Joe's podcast today. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope we have some more opportunities for this down the road.
And when we do, we'll have to tell David, we'll have to tell everybody the Adam Sandler story.
Yep. You were there.
I was there.
Right? Oh, that's a cliffhanger to end on. Well, from Evel Knievel to coffee roasting, and from Durango to Sumner to El Salvador, we get by with a little help from our friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Durango Joe's podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider taking a moment to rate and review, and share it if you know someone who could benefit from the message. And David, don't think I forgot to link your 1989 BMX TV showcase in the show notes. It was too good not to share. The Durango Joe's podcast is produced and published by Durango Joe's Coffee. In this episode, you heard from Durango Joe's CEO, Joe Lloyd, and our dear friend, David Morris, CEO of Delano's Coffee Roasters. It was written, recorded, and edited by yours truly, Trevor Ogborn. Durango Joe's, love people, love coffee.
And I actually still know we don't, because I have no idea how we met. But how we went from best buds, not knowing each other, to best buds, I have absolutely no idea.